dance.
That extra was not meant to be on there, but GLaDOS has the board this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
It is Wednesday. I'm singing again.
Yeah, and you are.
I got to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
What you trying to say, Ginger?
It's too early in the morning.
Oh, for singing? Yeah, it might be. You are listening to Lunch with the Ginger and the Core. I've already had lunch, by the way.
Oh, have you?
I had a nice box lunch. It was some nice chicken strips and some Texas toast.
Ooh, that is very nice. That is very nice.
And I forewent the gravy because, you know, you're supposed to have gravy with that, those of you who don't know up north. But I forewent the gravy because of the calories. But I did get these just for Ginger.
That is not right. Hershey.
Oh. She does this to me every day. She crunches something in my ear, knowing I love crunchy stuff. So I thought I would give her a little back check.
Wow.
Welcome again to Lunch with Ginger and Corey. I am Corey.
And I am Ginger, I think, maybe.
Well, your hair is red, so you are Ginger.
Yes, yes, I am Ginger. I'm definitely red.
The red-haired, I would say stepchild, but the red-haired trouble child. That's what
that is a true story.
Did you buy the masking tape over the things from we were talking about last night? Did you get it?
No, I didn't, because actually, to be admitting, I already have some like this.
If you want to know what we're talking about, you should be listening to Big Sinista live every Tuesday night, 8:30 to whenever
you
we stop talking.
Yeah.
You hear what I said, 8:30 to whenever we stop talking, because last
yeah,
all over time.
I was all like, we're going to go over. No, we're not. Oh, wait. Yeah, we are. Our bad.
I was confused.
It was fun, though. It was fun. I love that show. We had so much fun with it. And some of the crazy stuff we talk about. Oh, wait. Jay, is Jay listening?
He's probably listening.
With his boobs.
Boobs. Boob sandwich.
Ooh, boob sandwich.
Boob.
That, no, I was going to go somewhere with that, but it's early in the morning. So not nighttime. We get a little bit out of hand at night. We got to keep it reined in during the morning.
You are so correct.
Yes.
All right.
All right. So,
but two things real quick.
Okay.
The podcast, I guess, Don is up. The guys have sent all of them have sent me over links. Go over and make sure you check that out. Also, if you're trying to visit our webpage, we're rebooting servers. Yeah, so don't panic if you go there and it looks like it's down because, you know, we're getting ready for the Christmas and the Black Friday. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you keep your Black Friday to yourself. Oh,
no, we are. It's too late. I already warned you. It's too late.
No, I don't want it. I don't want it.
Oh, sorry, Ginger. It is too late. We are involved. We have been pulled in by a certain mobile company. That yeah, it's too late. You can't even run. Just let it go.
All right. I won't even try to run.
We have no choice. The rest of you can run and save yourself. So it is. There is a ton of news.
I know. Well, it's going to be that time of year again.
Yes. Oh, God. Okay. I don't even know where to start. Okay, Paradox. Well, where to start? I guess I'll start with them.
You start with Paradox. We like Paradox.
You just want me to do Paradox so you can buy them clothes with the masking tape stuff.
I already have those.
Mm-hmm. You need a new one. Mm-hmm.
No, I need a, what was it, Pac-Man? Yes.
Oh, the one I made? I may put that up in the store I accidentally opened today. Accidentally opened.
Totally do that. Yeah.
First item. Okay, well, we'll talk about that a little bit later. If you guys want to know what Pac-Man is, you'll have to come by the site because I won't talk about it during the day. But it does have to do with boobs. That's all I will tell you. Okay. You Magicka fans, especially the ones who got it from us all those little months ago, you were asking for stuff, you wanted stuff. Well, in anticipation of their upcoming Lovecraft-inspired campaign, Magicka, the stars are left. The great old ones today have announced that the popular co-op action-adventure game has received a huge tech overhaul for the game engine itself and game balance improvements. So any of you players who have purchased Magicka or won it from us will receive, at no extra charge, this much-asked-for update, which has the ability to resume game progress from checkpoint. Ooh. Thank God. Oh, that's part of the reason why I'm like, I hate to die. I play and I'm mad. You can from progress from checkpoints instead of starting over at the beginning of a chapter. It also incorporates the ability to revisit previously completed chapters, and for you soloists like myself, as a fairy familiar that will revive you when you perish during campaign mode. Nice, right?
That is very nice.
There's some other details in the included in the engine update. Of course, we told you about your fairy familiar.
Does the fairy familiar sass you?
If it sasses me, I will kill it, because you know how I roll. No problem with being the kamikaze pilot. I will throw up a shield and a nice fireball, and we'll all die up in there. That's what happens usually. Anyway, there's also, they're saying, some improvements to the server browser. There's some physics and collision detection things that they've improved, so it's less of you falling through the floor, although I never did. Frame rate stuttering should be less noticeable for some users, unless you are Blaster and Snow, in which case you don't have those issues because you have a supercomputer.
No. Oh, I'm scared to talk about that.
Rolling my eyes at the both of them and complaining. They're like, this is the worst week ever. Really? Anyway, I'm going to be on y'all for the rest of the month about that. They also added an extended particle system with particle lights, improved light performance, several other little minor bug fixes, game balances, and tweaks. The Great Ones also unveiled a gameplay trailer that was available before the existence of man, which we do have. We'll add to our channel. However, since the Great Old Ones only had dial-up internet access until just a few days ago, they're finally able to share it with all of mankind who have since started to exist. The trailer is sure to excite you players. Keep your hands above the desk. Who are... Yes, you will keep your hands above the desk. So we will be adding that to our channel, but not during the show, because as you know, Firefox now hates me. So if I open up any YouTube videos, even to add them to our channel, it starts having a fit. But if you can't wait, you can always pop over to visit our friends at MagickaGame.com or on their Facebook, Magicka Game, on their Twitter, on the forums at forum.paradoxplaza.com. Tell them that we sent you and that we love them so, so much. So much we love you, Paradox.
Yes, we do. We adore Paradox.
They're good to us, and we're good to them.
Yes.
There's not even any boobs involved in that. That's how much love that is.
I would almost flash them boobs, because that's how much I love them.
I'm done for the day. Good night.
All right. Hey, Corey. Do you know the FBI plays Second Life?
I'm done playing Second Life now.
All right. Second Life gets mentioned in FBI report on gangs.
Oh, gangs, yeah. Or gangs?
Gangs.
G-A-N-G, gangs.
G-A-N-G-S,
gangs. Oh, yeah.
All right, so I'm pulling this from Game Politics this morning. They pulled it from Blaster's favorite site, which, you know, we pick on him about quite a bit, Kotaku. Apparently, Second Life has managed to get an honorable mention in a new FBI intelligence dossier on gangs. On page 41 of the FBI's recently released National Gang Threat Assessment, Second Life gets a mention as a hang for nefarious characters. All right, so the whole thing is a PDF. Just a small blurb says, Second Life is a computer-based virtual world with a simulated environment where users inhabit and interact via avatars or graphical representations. The virtual world may depict a real world or a fantasy world. Users communicate through text, chat, and real-time voice-based chats. Second Life provides versatility and anonymity, and allows for covert communications because of its anonymity, and versatility. Gang members could potentially use Second Life to recruit, spread propaganda, commit other crimes such as drug trafficking, and receive training for real-world criminal operations. Of course, gangs could potentially use Skype, AIM, Google Chat, Facebook, Twitter, World of Warcraft, any game played on the Xbox Live, etc., to communicate about their dark deeds and covert plans. The writer goes on to say, it sounds like an FBI agent was trying to justify his in-world examination of the virtual world.
It sounds like he wanted to play, yeah, and just decided, I'm just going to hang out here. Yeah, this is what's going on.
I've met some interesting characters, but again, it's the internet. I take half of what you say with a grain of salt.
Exactly. We were talking about this last night. You can't believe anything anybody tells you in Second Life, especially not me, because I will make up some stuff. There's some truth mixed in.
Yes. Oh,
and it even says so in my profile. Unless I want you to know who I am, generally I will make up some stuff. I'll be like, yeah, I'm in Norway, and I'm ice fishing right now.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
And it's nice. It's so cold out here. Have you been in Norway? If you believe me, that's on you.
See, yeah, that's awesome.
So, whatever.
I've learned to...
Now, people that I have known for a while, you know, I made sure some real details with them. Again, just how I ended up friends with Snow. But you get to know those people that are sane. You give them about 6 to 8 months. I'm telling you, crazy can only maintain sanity for about 6 to 8 months. If after that, they're still acting normal.
So true.
Yeah. If they're acting normal, then they're okay to, you know, be real friends with. Otherwise, no.
No, no.
I have people I have cut loose. I was looking through my list the other night because, you know, when you add a friend in Second Life, they stay in your list. Even though you block and you may delete them off your list, you have a folder where all this stuff, when they added you, still has their name. So I have, like, you know, since 2004 or something worth of names. And I was like, oh, I remember this person. And I also remember why I stopped speaking to them because they were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, moving along. Skyrim.
Not alone.
Skyrim, wow. Skyrim, okay. Sold. You're ready for this. I have no drum roll, so we'll just have to... Ginger, do it with your mouth.
Yeah.
3.5 million copies of Skyrim sold in 48 hours.
Ooh, holy bejeebus.
That is right. The publisher shipped 7 million copies for launch and reported that 50% of those copies sold within 2 days. It's expecting worldwide retail sales from launch units of around, just a little $450 million or so dollars. Zenimax's CEO Robert Altman says, we are very grateful for fans' our response to Skyrim. Todd Howard and his team at Bethesda Game Studios have crafted a very special game. Anticipation for Skyrim has surpassed any game in our company's history, and we are pleased that sales and reviews have reflected the quality and hours of amazing gameplay it provides. The game also set records on Steam as well, with 280,000 concurrent players in the first 24 hours of release. And notice, you didn't hear about any issues, because Steam, I do have to agree with Blaster, they are badass.
They are.
Recently, Sony reported that the PS3 exclusive Uncharted Drake's Deception had shipped 3.8 million copies on one day, while Activision's Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 recently achieved launch sales of 6.5 million copies in the UK and US territories, making around 400 million in one day. But that has been our most ambitious project ever, added the Skyrim game director Todd Howard. After over 3 years of development, we're finally excited to get it into everyone's hands. The game currently has a score of 95 on Metacritic, and this will be the one time I actually agree with them. And I'm not paid to tell you that.
Wow, that is nice. And you said 4 million?
3.5 million in 48 hours.
Holy bejesus. We are doing this wrong.
We need to make a game.
We do. Holy
full
crap.
I just need some money.
I want to make $3 million in, you know, two days.
That's awesome. Well, they deserve that. You think of one of the games that I like the open world concepts where you can wander around.
Yeah.
But, GTA is good about that, but Skyrim actually gets down to the serious details where every single thing in the game is interactive. Every bowl, cup, plate.
See, I love that. That is hot.
Yeah, and that's why you don't see them out every year. That's why you have to wait 4 years before you get another one of these from Bethesda, because they do put in the work. I mean, I was watching.
See, and I am perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, it's kind of overwhelming the first time you play one of these. If you've never played, you know, one of the Bethesda, the Morrowind, the Oblivion, it is overwhelming. It is like being in an MMO and you're the only person. But once you adjust to the fact that it's supposed to feel like that.
Yeah.
and start roaming around and realize that you can pick up, move, and do anything, and all of it affects gameplay. I stole an apple last night by accident, and it was not pretty. I had to kill everybody in the tavern. And I'm just saying, for an apple, I did, because if you do it within eyesight of somebody, that's also one of the cool things about Bethesda. I was within eyesight of somebody. I wasn't trying to. I was looking at it. I was like, is that an apple? And then I clicked. Oh, I picked it up. Yay! And then, you know, the scuffle was on, and then I had to kill this guy, and then the rest of them came down. So I killed everybody in there, and then I rolled out. I left the town, because in Skyrim, or those types of games, you have to leave the town, or something bad is going to happen. They're going to put you in jail. They're going to kill you, something. So I left. I caught me a carriage and went to the north. Yeah. So,
wow.
And I will not be headed back to that town either. Because I know.
I don't blame you.
When I get there, it's going to be bad.
So, yeah.
Good games that Bethesda makes. And I'm mad at Blaster because this was one that we probably would have gotten for review because, you know, one of the ladies there at Bethesda is in love with Blaster. I told you that yesterday.
He wouldn't. Blaster, come on.
He's like, I don't know. It just feels funny. I'm like, man, we have to do it all the time. We come on. You don't even have to show her anything. You just look at her. She looked up at you and said, oh, my God, this tall, blonde, Nordic guy. You want what? How many copies of Skyrim? 20? Sure.
Blaster, you slacker. Come on.
Mm-hmm. She called you a slacker, too. See, that's what I called you yesterday.
I totally did.
What'd she get?
You could have had that all for us. No. It's so funny.
Yeah.
It's hard. You don't even have to do anything. You just talk to him.
Jay is being bad on Twitter. Okay.
Oh, Jay. Good.
I got nothing to do with it.
All right. I don't buy that for a second.
Talking about.
All right, so we heard, the other day we were graphing about the Metascore for Modern Warfare 3. Looks like there's more trouble with it today. GamePolitics.com has an interesting story that they pulled from industry gamers.
Uh-oh.
Modern Warfare 3 developer calls for Metascore boost gets flamed.
Ooh, they said they want a Metascore boost?
Yeah.
You can't be asking for that.
I know, right?
That's like calling people at the Oscars and say, I demand to get an Oscar, but I'm not.
I know. All right, so Sledgehammer Game is finding itself on the business end of internet hate after one of its developers encouraged fans to manipulate the user ratings for Modern Warfare 3 over at Metacritic.com. Sledgehammer Game's lead Glenn Schofield tweeted to fans asking them to bring the game's paltry 1.7 out of 10 score up. Critics have been generally kind to the game, giving it an average score of 8.9 out of 10. He says, I don't usually do this, but if you like Modern Warfare 3, go to Metacritic.com and help our users score. And this was tweeted from Schofield. Tweet has since been removed. And he says, it's suspiciously low, but honest. Be honest, but help if you agree. What Schofield didn't expect was the reaction from the community. He was immediately attacked by fans of the game who accused him of trying to promote unfair boosting. While Schofield took some heat for his Twitter request, the game has climbed a little higher to an average of 3.2. But still, that's still horrible.
Horrible. You guys need to accept that the fans are not liking your game. You cannot ask for a boost. You want boost? Fix your stuff.
You made a bad game. Get over it. Make a better game.
Exactly. Sometimes you hit, sometimes you miss.
Yes, take this as a lesson. You know, all right, we did some stuff. Listen to your fans. Find out what they didn't like, what they wanted, and you didn't give them, and give it to them next time.
That's the way it's supposed to work. But now we're just going to demand special treatment. It's Modern Warfare. Okay.
You should have listened to your fans the first time around, but no. But, you know, what us gamers know? We don't know nothing.
Apparently, we know nothing.
We don't know what we like to play.
Speaking of what people like to play, Will Wright has announced his next project.
Yeah, what is
it? Eurogamer is reporting that sim creator Will Wright, whom I will be sitting in your lap. You have not escaped, Will. I will be kissing you. You have not escaped, just so you know. He's announced his next video game project with an ambitious new title called Hive Mind. resistance is futile. No, I added that resistance part. Wright has explained that the game will collect your personal data, such as your geographical location, your friends, whereabouts, and how much money you have, and then turn that into some kind of gaming experience. He didn't confirm exactly what form that'll take, but explained that his aim is for the game to discover opportunities for a person to have fun based on their interests and routines. He said, rather than craft a game like Farmville for players to learn and play, we learn about what you and your routines and incorporate you and your routines and incorporate that into a form of gameplay. He added that there are over 50 different dimensions to an individual that could be learned through data collection. He says it blurs entertainment, lifestyle, and personal tools. With that data, the world and the opportunities for entertainment within it become more visible to you. He says if we can learn enough about the player, we can create games about their real life. How do we get you more engaged in reality rather than distract you from it? Wright is aware that there is an obvious concern regarding privacy invasion. However, he believes that the younger generation are more comfortable with sharing their personal information, especially if they're guaranteed great entertainment in return. And that's what we don't want, Will, because some of them are stupid.
Yes.
Because the older ones are going to take it. Yeah, the older ones that are hackers are not fooled by the whole privacy thing and will take advantage of the younger ones. Somebody's going to be, you know, starting out in life and end up with the major debt because they are too comfortable with sharing information. There's no word on what platforms the game is being developed for or when it might be released, what publisher is involved. He has set up a new company called Hivemind to manage the development. Of course, his last foray into games was Spore back in 2008, which I think Spore was brilliant. Just I missed that he took the multiplayer out. It would have been nice. But I'm not – you're going to have to do something with this. It's going to have to win me over. When I saw Spore, you know, I did the whole gasp and swoon thing and The Sims when I first ran across them, SimCity, all of these. I was like, this is brilliant. Who's the guy behind this? But, Will, I'm going to sit in your lap. I'm going to kiss you, and then I'm going to slap you for this one. Okay,
ooh.
So there's an edit.
That's kind of hot, actually.
Yeah, he might like it. He might like it.
Ouch.
I said, what the hell is with this hive mind business? Maybe I'll slap first so we can end on a high note. I'll sit, slap, and then kiss. There we go.
That's hot. Oh, wow. All right. Need to get that image out of my head. All right. You thieves. Oh,
you dirty thieves.
By the way, whoever it is took this, I want it. GamePolitics.com, two Razer prototype gaming laptops stolen. Uh-oh. All right. So we talked, I think, two, 3 weeks ago about these Razers. Two prototype Razer Blade laptops have been stolen, according to the company that makes them.
Ooh.
Yes, but they claim that the theft is unlikely to impact the launch plans for what it calls the world's first true gaming laptop. Seriously, these things are so sexy.
Wait. Who's making this gaming laptop?
Razer? Razer Blade laptops? Razer.
Oh, my God. This is going to be good. Alienware. Oh, juicy. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right, so Razer revealed this morning that two prototype Razer Blade gaming laptops have been stolen from its R&D offices earlier this month. Heathcliff Hatcher, Razer's Director of Global Product Marketing, told that other website we won't name, that the prototypes were not fully functional and that the theft shouldn't have any sort of impact on the company's plans to launch. The company said that it finally went public with the news this week, is in hope it will help to recover data from a weekend-long thermal test that is on one of these stolen laptops. As you can imagine, the return of these prototypes units is very important to the company. We have already reported this to the authorities, who are working closely with us on this matter. Details on the theft were not revealed. Like if this was simply an act of theft by an individual or if the company thinks this was some sort of industrial espionage to steal trade secrets. Whatever the motive.
Say that?
Yeah. See, the whole PC industry is getting
a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit dark, a little bit inky.
Ooh.
Yeah, so whoever has this, I've got some fluffy cake pictures for you.
You can't play with it because it's probably, you know, they probably got all the serial numbers. As soon as you turn it online, it'd be like, dip, 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 GPS.
I'll take it back. It'll be like, look what I got you. Can I have a free one?
No, because you know it never goes down like that. All right. Well, monsters are coming.
Monsters are coming?
Yes, Warner Brothers Interactive. Yes, monsters. Monsters. Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment announces the upcoming release of new DLC for Sesame Street Once Upon a Monster.
Aww.
If you don't know what it is, it's the uplifting and funny family adventure video game on Kinect for 360. Unidentified furry objects will be available on November 22nd on Xbox Live Marketplace.
Unidentified furry objects. I'm
trying to glaze. Just let me go.
So cute.
I've
identified furry objects.
Yes. It's around 400 Microsoft points. Then again, that is actually the name of the DLC, is Unidentified Furry Objects. It's being designed as a new chapter in the game's whimsical storybook adventure where young players join Cookie Monster. I love Cookie Monster. Oh, my God. Elmo and other Sesame Street characters, of course, as they explore a living storybook titled Once Upon a Monster. In this particular chapter, a mysterious light falls from the sky, the night sky, and the monsters are visited by some very strange furry visitors. It was, of course, developed by award-winning Double Fine Productions. Sesame Street Once Upon a Monster is truly an original interactive experience where young players meet new lovable monsters from the Once Upon a Time monster world, forge friendships, and learn key life skills along the way. Parents and children become a part of the storybook adventure by getting active together through dancing, jumping, flying, and more. You can You didn't hear that part.
No, you can't.
Well, I will say it's rated E. It's available now at retailers nationwide for about $49.99, which is not bad. And you can also, if you're not sure if your little one will like it, best way is to take them to onceuponamonstergame.com and see if they start screaming, because that's usually what happens when the little ones are here when I say, look at this.
Ah! I want to play. See, Corey is so cute.
I will tell you this much. Apparently, Justin Bieber is no longer the cool thing with the girls in my family. So last year I bought all of them.
Thank Bieber. God.
Justin Bieber is out. I'm sorry, Biebs. You're out this year. The girls did not want out.
Apparently he's in with 21-year-old crazy women who say their baby is his.
Either way, whether he did it or not, the girls do not care. They are like, no.
Mm-mm.
We do not want Justin Bieber. So I don't know who's going to be the next hotness. Maybe it'll be the Once Upon a Monster, but I think they're all too old for that. But
I don't know.
The Biebs is done.
Thankfully. Oh, my God, thankfully. Okay, so, this is kind of neat. Another story from GamePolitics.com this morning. Warner Brothers asks for help with Arkham City save game glitch.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. Warner Brothers has been trying to figure out how to fix the save game bug in the Xbox 360 version of Batman Arkham City, but have thus far been unable to reproduce the error and are turning to the community for help. The company said that it is working hard on a fix for the glitch that causes save games to be erased, but it's hard to fix something you can't detect. It is asking Arkham City players having this problem to help them by providing as much information as they can. All right, so we've got a whole little thing. Written on the Arkham City forums, they said, "We greatly appreciate and value you as a customer, and apologize for any inconvenience if you have encountered any technical problems which might have impacted your experience with the game. We would very much like to fix this disappearing save files issue from some computer." It's Wednesday, it's not Monday. All right, so we would very much like to fix the disappearing save files issue some consumers have been reporting with the Xbox 360 version of the game as quickly as possible. Thus far, our Q&A department has been unable to reproduce this issue. For those of you who are experiencing this particular issue, it would be invaluable to our Q&A team's ongoing test efforts if you can contact WBGames support at wvgames.com. and let some of us know some specifics as to the hardware and software configuration of the Xbox 360 machine you are playing the game on. Answering the specific information when you contact WB Games would be most helpful." All right, so they're asking things like which hardware were you using, what storage method were you using, what version of the Xbox 360 system, all that fun stuff. So if you're having this issue, if you've been playing this game, go over and contact them. Let them know exactly what you were doing.
Isn't this what beta was supposed to be for?
You would think. This is the same people that locked us out of Catwoman, so.
This is exactly why game companies, you need to stop using the players as beta testers, because in all honesty, I will be surprised. Some people out there are actually, you know, naturally beta testers, and some actually are beta testers that will help you with this. But if you would just hire them in the first place instead of using the actual players who don't really care if there's a problem, they just say, oh, I'm in so-and-so
yes.
beta. I'm showing off. They don't care whether or not the game is working. Matter of fact, they're in beta complaining because they don't realize I'm in beta. It's not supposed to work. You're supposed to be the one helping to fix it. So
yes, people, there are a reason why there are surveys and questions and, you know, where you can send in the reports. If something goes wrong, it's not a little thing. I don't care. Just type in a little blurb, let them know, and send it.
You are supposed to do that when you're in beta, and they don't make that clear. This other thing I don't like when you sign up for beta, I'm in the beta test for some game now. I don't remember what it is. I got in yesterday. You know what it is. Remember, I put it up in our thing, if you look. But I think at the beginning of every beta, they need to make clear your job in here is not to tell everybody that you're playing. Your job is to find problems and report them so that when the game comes out, it's a great game, especially if you like it, because that means it gets to stay around for a long time. And
yes.
You know, we make money, all that good stuff. Speaking of games that have been around a long time.
Uh-oh.
If you're an EverQuest fan, so Veil of Alaris is out as of yesterday or late last night, and it is expensive. Oh, who's messaging me? Ginger's sending me prawn again. Okay, gotcha. Okay, so if you're an EverQuest fan, this is called, again, The Veil of Alaris. If you want the standard digital download from the station store, it does include Veil of Alaris and all previous expansion packs. It includes all of the following in-game items: the Desert Kingdom Saddle, Traveler's Rucksack, Painting of the Veil of Alaris for $39.99. You can also get the Collector's Edition as a digital download for, get this, $89.99. It includes VOA and, of course, all the previous expansions. It also comes with the following in-game items: Desert Kangon Saddle, Traveler's Rucksack, your Painting of the Veil of Alaris. You also get a Journeyman's Pocketed Rucksack, Forest Kingdom Saddle, Swinator Contract, Concept Art Painting 1 and 2, and Sentry Stone Replica. Yeah, apparently in this one you can go from levels 90 to 95 and achieve a new max level of 95 and set a new standard of gameplay. I don't know how. You have improved hotbars that are supposed to give you better control of your character's experience. Parcel and coin delivery system, so you can mail items and coin to your friends while they're offline, share the profits from your adventures with your friends, and receive items from them easier than ever before. A feature that was in Fallen Earth from the jump. And even WoW, I believe. Come on, EverQuest. new guild halls. Did I say and EverQuest? I was trying to say World of Warcraft. Did I? Yeah, crazy.
World of Warcraft too.
I had a blank moment. Also, new guild halls. You're supposed to be able to take it to new heights with the integrations of tools. So you can customize and place your guild hall in one of the housing zones, including multiple exterior and interiors. Again, a feature that's been in City of Heroes since day one. Come on, people. Catch up. You're the originators. You're supposed to be great
actors.
Yeah, this would be great and stuff, not following in the footsteps of others. You got 13 raids, 12 new zones, 500 plus more spells, 20 new missions, 110 plus more quests, and, of course, you get your Legends of Norwest 5 digital booster packs. You also get 30 days of game time included with your purchase.
Ooh.
Of course, this is only if you're a new account. This excludes you. That's mean. You know that there's
all right. So you've been playing the game for a while. You're you get nothing.
There's a commercial about a bank that makes fun of companies that do this. EverQuest that says we treat all of our customers the same. This is says you want ice cream, but it's only for our new people. Well, I've been here forever. Why can't I have ice cream too? Because it's for our new people. They're special. They're more special than you. And so we should be getting. If I've been
love.
There.
Love. Give them some love. Come on.
Yeah. And all this digital download business. Did you hear how much I said it was? $89.99?
Holy but
Jeebus, look, and they're saying it's a collector's edition. If I can't hold it in my hand, it's not
a collector's edition. That is not a collector's edition. If I can't touch it, if there's not some kind of coolness with it, that is not a collector's edition.
It comes with all this in-game. No, digital things are not collector's edition. I cannot keep it. I cannot show it to somebody. I can't, you know, put it on my wall. No, Sony.
No.
Let's find a new word for that. Anyway, you're an EverQuest fan.
Eventually, you'll take it away from us. It'll be gone. It's
not
a collector's.
Or it could be like yesterday where you accidentally delete it. I remember that.
Yes, that one game. Oops, our bad. We were updating the servers and we deleted the whole game. Our bad.
Oops.
You know, there had to be some ticked off people over that.
If they don't get their money back, they're going to really be pissed.
I know, right? Oh.
All right. What you got, Ninja? What you got?
Apparently, I've got coffee is what I've got. All right. There's a sweepstakes going on right now. Massive LLC launches massive online sweepstakes, partners with leading outdoor gear manufacturers in anticipation for upcoming titles. The action continues as Massive LLC today announced an online sweepstakes tying together fans of the publisher's upcoming outdoor action titles, including Outdoors Unleashed Alaska 3D and Outdoors Unleashed Africa 3D, and the recently released Heavy Fire Afghanistan with Outdoor Enthusiasts. The sweepstakes, which begins today and runs through Monday, December 12th, is open to fans and players alike and includes a plethora of prizes from leading outdoor gear manufacturers, including Blackhawk, Champion Traps and Targets, Weaver, Wiley X, and Remington. The Master Sweepstakes boast over $5,000 USD worth of goodies, including Blackhawk Turbine Hydration Packs, Champion Eyes and Ears Combo, Weaver Classic Binoculars, Wiley X Outdoor Active P17 Sunglasses, and Remington Flashlights. To enter, participants should read the full rules and regulations and register at the Sweeps website, which is mastiffcontest.com. Name, email, phone, and date of birth are required for entry. Entrants must be 17 years of age or older to participate. All right, so again, if you want more information about this, head over to mastiffcontest.com.
All right, fantastical, darlings, fantastical.
Yes, and I have the link up on GamingAgents.com. So.
Well, you people that are super, super hardcore.
Yes,
you people that are hardcore, super, super stalker-like fans of Fallout New Vegas will be
Okay, of Fallout New Vegas, fair enough.
Yeah, well, us, this whole different kind of thing. You'll be happy to hear this next one. Well, there's apparently a All Roads 48-page graphic novel.
Novel?
Yes, they're saying it was previously or originally released with the Fallout New Vegas Collector's Edition. Well, you can now get it and have it for yourself. It's available via Dark Horse Digital. You can download the graphic novel, which tells the story of some of the characters and events that lead up to Fallout New Vegas. You can also get it from iTunes as well. All Roads, of course, was written by one Mr. Chris Avalon, the game's creative director, and created in conjunction with Dark Horse Comics, which with cover art created by the legendary illustrator and comic book artist Jeff Darrow, and coloring, of course, by Peter Dautry. The graphic novel also features art by Jean Diaz from Incorruptibles and Wellington Alves, Marvel's Shadowland, Blood on the Streets, Melbourne, if you were familiar with those comic books. For more information, of course, they're wanting you to go over to visit FalloutNewVegas.com, and we are trying to get you guys some codes, if you like that.
Ooh,
so that you can have to read if you are a graphic novel. I'm sorry, on the graphic novel I have ever read and loved deeply and dearly would be Daredevil.
I didn't read it.
I loved it because there was a crazy chick in it. Any chick that beats the hell out of guys in a dark alley wearing a mink coat and a bikini is all right with me.
God. Holy cow. Beat guys in a dark alley wearing a mink coat.
Yes. Oh, did I mention the stilettos? I said mink coat, bikini, stilettos.
Oh, see, that is hot. That is hot right
And
there.
I know some feminists are like, that's disgusting. No, what was disgusting is that they followed her into the alley because she was wearing the mink coat and the bikini and the stilettos. But she teach you boys a lesson.
Yes. Never follow us.
Not all flowers are sweet. All right.
I'm sassy and we'll kick your...
Yeah. The backside. All right, we got 5 minutes, ma'am, before we go into streaming. What you got?
I've got apparently the cough.
Copy. Go to Dr. Jen.
I know. All right. I got to read it. No, I can't. I'll leave that one for after.
Oh,
yeah.
Let's be good.
All right. You know I love me some fishing games, so here we go. Activision's Rapala for Kinect is out today. Total body fishing experience flashes on the shelf. Brush up your right hook because the most exciting virtual angling extravaganza ever, Rapala for Kinect, is available now for Activision Publishing. I don't care who you love from. And Rapala, the world's leading fishing brand. Utilizing the motion controls of Kinect for Xbox 360 players can set the hook, cast off, and reel in a trophy fish as though it were the real thing. Featuring an arcade-style fishing experience, Rapala for Kinect is controlled solely by the player's physical gestures with intuitive, easy-to-learn Kinect for Xbox 360 optimized movements. A 45-second cast-to-catch time frame ensures angling with an emphasis on fun. Players will also partake in boat races that give bonuses to the next round of fishing as they speed along to the many different fishing hotspots. With plenty of extreme bumping and rapid speed boosts, these chariots of the sea are sure to bring out the fun. Things are always better with a friend, and Rapala for Kinect is no exception. Up to four players can come together and play through the fishing mode or boat races. The arcade gameplay and cel-shaded graphics blend to create a distinct fishing game for the Kinect. Rapala for Kinect comes with plenty of comical hijinks, such as user-generated content that captures an image of your face and pastes it onto one of the game's boss fish. Hilarity will continue to ensue when players discover that all of the Rapala brand lures communicate with hilariously entertaining fish speak. Finally, for the socially connected gamers of the world, complete Facebook integration allows them to share their proudest catches on the web. All right, so if you're interested in this, you want to check this out, I do have this up on GamingMatrix.com this morning. Go over and check it out. It does look hilarious.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yes. You know I love me some fishing games.
I'm trying to ignore everything you just said because we both share a love of fishing games. A whole body experience. You mean I can stand in front of my ginormous TV and just throw lines out in the water? I know people are like, why don't you want to go fishing for real? Well, there's bugs. I got to drive places. I got to clean them. I don't want any sense. I just want the experience. I just want to throw the thing out in the water and just. You didn't find Animal Crossing, did you?
I did not. I did not find Animal Crossing, but I may go back and do it again today.
Do you have a Big Lots near you?
Big Lots? Yeah, I think so.
Big Lots, although I don't think they should be. I'm going to say they shouldn't be selling games because they have no ESRB anything up anywhere. We're still on that one. But yeah, they have copies of Animal Crossing sometimes.
Huh. I will have to check that out.
Sometimes they do. I want to check that out. All right. The zombie shall inherit the earth.
Uh-oh.
So you guys know where you can find us. GamerGirlsRadio.com. GamerNatrix.com. Here on BT. In ancient Egypt. And that's all I can say about that.
Go ahead and tell me how that one is.
It's interesting. I can't say I dislike it. And of course, if you want to play with us over the weekend in a game, just let us know. Really, I'm usually flexible to go out and grab them. But that's crazy.
See, now you can play all the fun.
Wow, this got way too much bass. I'm going to have to pick a new Dead Island game.
It does.
I think maybe I uploaded it to higher. All right, guys, of course, in about 2 minutes or so here, we're going to cut off. Remember, you can download and listen to the rest of this show later, non-streaming. Take us with you on your iPod, your iPad Touch, your Android. It don't really matter.
Just take us with you. That's all that matters.
I like to imagine you all walking down the streets of your respective cities with Gamer Girls Radio in your ears.
See, that is hot.
That's beautiful.
That is so pretty.
Right?
Why do you want to go anywhere without us?
I don't know why they want to be without us. They love us.
Yes, we are awesome.
All right. I got a quick one here because I just want to hear Ginger grimace. I want to hear her grimace. You know, usually you can see someone grimace. I'm going to hear her grimace.
I'm scared.
Capcom games to appear on Origin.
Why people? Why are you putting your games on this horrible service?
That was so Canadian. The two of Capcom's biggest franchises have been made available to buy on EA's Origin service with SSF IV Arcade Edition and Dead Rising 2 off the record available to purchase right now. EA announced last month that it will be bringing third-party games from THQ, Warner Brothers, and Capcom to the service. Both games are currently available in the U.S. for $39.99 each. No date has been given for the rest of the world. According to EA, more than 5 million customers are already using Origin, which will see some EA games available there exclusively for online sales. And again, I'd like to point out those 5 million players are all playing The Sims. It is not anything else.
Why do y'all have to be evil to us? Why? All right. I guess it is my turn for another story.
Yes, ma'am.
Yay. All right, what do we got? Yesterday I talked about the whole PETA thing with Mario. All right, well, today Nintendo responds to PETA's pro-fur Mario claim. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. They pulled it from Eurogamer. Yesterday, people from the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, launched its Mario Kills Tanuki campaign, a stunt meant to draw attention to the plight of the real-life Tanuki, that is apparently killed for its fur in some parts of the world. Perhaps not so coincidentally, Super Mario 3D Land released the day before, and one of Mario's power-ups is the Tanuki suit. All right, so according to PETA, by wearing Tanuki, Mario is sending the message that it is okay to wear fur. The organization even released a flash game in which you play as a skinless Tanuki chasing after Mario in an attempt to reclaim its hide. Speaking to Eurogamer, Nintendo commented on PETA's claim that Mario is pro-fur. They said, Mario often takes the appearance of certain animals and objects in his games. These have included a frog, a penguin, a balloon, even a metallic version of himself. These lighthearted and whimsical transformations give Mario different abilities and make his games fun to play. The different forms of Mario that takes, that makes, the different, oh my god, the different forms that Mario takes make no statement behind the games themselves. All right, so that was as fun as Majesco's response 2 years ago when PETA parodied Cookie Mama to promote meat-free diets. The writer says, come on, Nintendo, get Charles Martinet to record a message to PETA as Mario.
I think they should.
Why did y'all have to go to Mario? It's not like he killed Tanuki. All right, he might have killed Tanuki, but still.
It doesn't even matter. Again, as we pointed out yesterday, gamers are not out killing animals. We are playing games. Even us, we don't want to go real fishing. I want to do the fake things so that I don't have to touch.
Oh, and if you're gonna gripe about one thing and be like, oh my god, y'all are eating meat, y'all are wearing furs. Hello, if you are on the internet posting this stuff. Yeah, again, I'm not gonna go down that road. Chips, the whole not good. Not good.
I think that deserves a write up, Ginger.
It does. You know what? Yeah, I think it does.
Well, Ginger, just because Halloween has passed doesn't mean that the hamper goodness needs to end. That's right. The critically acclaimed Blood Rain Betrayal is getting a production on the PlayStation Network in Europe only. Now the blood-sucking vampire decapitating 2D action will be available for 20% off between November 16th and November 30th. Probably PETA will be angry because you should not kill vampires. Taking the role of everyone's favorite sexy half-human, half-vampire has never been a better deal, and I want to know why we needed to put the sexy part in. Is it say that when we're talking about, any of the male characters? Some of them are sexy.
No, and I'd like to point out to Blood Rain originally, Rain was not exactly all that sexy. She was pretty ugly. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, y'all gave her boobs and a prettier, you know, a facelift, all that fun stuff, does not mean anything.
Tell them, Jim. The original video game Femme Fatale Rain has returned to battle and feed in this hack-and-slash adventure developed by WayForward, the seasoned team behind some of the game's most critically acclaimed and brand reinventions. Blood Rain Betrayal delivers over-the-top stylish action with a healthy dose of bloodshed. You are Rain. You know what? I'm going to not read the rest of this because they keep throwing in the word sexy. So first, I'm going to talk to our guys over at Reverb, Jerry and Gregory. Yes, I'm calling you out on the air. We love you guys, but you must stop this. We're
y'all are in trouble.
Oh,
na-na-na-na.
Yeah, they are. So we're gonna need you. I'm not gonna tell you what I'm gonna say to them. It's just not gonna be pretty. So if you don't see any more reverb contact from us, that was what happened. I'm about to be. Yeah.
Y'all are about to get your pee-pee smacked.
They are. And I'm going to edit this before we share it with you. Unless Ginger's put it up. If you put it up, I'll edit yours.
No.
I'm going to post it up, and then we're going to edit this, because there's this has gotten out of hand, the mention of the sexual stuff. No. Mm-mm. Look, you know, the problem's going to be, they're going to be like, well, you were talking about bikinis and fur coats. That's different.
It was. But again, like I said, you know, Rain was not originally all that pretty, and y'all made it pretty, and, you know, that's all fun and stuff, but you know what? Y'all are harping on it. Y'all are actually trying to sell just that aspect, and no. The game is good. Don't get me wrong. The game is a lot of fun. On its own, the game is beautiful. I had a lot of fun playing it, so I give it very 2 thumbs up there. So y'all don't actually have to harp on that, you know, Rain is actually pretty now.
No, they're not even saying pretty. You know,
sexy.
It keeps going with the sexy.
No, it's still a 2D thing. It's only so sexy it can get. Sorry, people.
It don't need to be mentioned at all, actually. Why does it
need
to be mentioned in the game? If you wouldn't mention it if you were talking about a bad character, then don't do it for the girls developing.
No, she is sexy because she is badass. There is blood everywhere. There is beheading. Oh, I loved it.
Ginger, you missed my whole point. If you ain't going to put it in your press release for the guys mentioning them as sexy, then you don't do it when you have a female character because she's female.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You've got a point. I'm just saying, you know.
You like the sexy because of the murdering.
The murdering was sexy.
And that is the catchphrase for the day. The murdering was sexy. I'm not going to post it anywhere because, you know, it will be taken all out of context. That one can't be taken out of context. It would be very, very bad.
All right, we've not got much time left. I was going to read that one, but now that I read it, I realize what it is, and I don't want to read it. Okay, so, Entropia Universe introduces citizenship and revenue sharing system with expected annual returns of up to 30%. MindArk developer and publisher of the largest real money MMO announced today that it will introduce a groundbreaking citizenship system to Planet Calypso. The new system will provide revenue sharing to participants and add a political system that will allow players to vote on major decisions affecting their virtual world. All of this for as little as $100 USD. Jan Welter Timprens, chairman of MindArk, says, "Our new citizenship system will have a strong impact on the social and virtual worlds industry. People have always had the opportunity to make money playing our game and engaging in the microtransactions economy. Now they can actually share in the revenues of their favorite planet with a landlot deed and help decide its future via the political system. The new system grants users Planet Calypso citizenship and political voting rights. Citizens will also receive a share in the planet partner gross revenue of Calypso paid weekly. Based on the Planet Calypso's performance over the last 12 months, the potential return of the investment ROI is expected to be between 27% and 30% per year. Each planet in the Entropia universe is a separate planet partner, and the revenue shared to deed holders will come from the Planet Calypso revenue stream. 60,000 landlot deeds offered at $100 USD each are available exclusively through the Entropia universe global auction and can be acquired by anyone after creating a free avatar. The new citizenship system will showcase the economics of a successful planet partner on the Entropia Universe platform and allow users to participate in that success. Planet Calypso is the oldest of the planets in Entropia Universe, with over 1 million registered accounts and over 400 million USD per year in the user-to-user transactions. Until now, processing land in Entropia Universe has been very exclusive, with a market price for land deeds ranging from $5,000 to upwards of $500,000 USD. In the new citizenship system, just about anyone can share a piece of an entire virtual world. All right, so if you want more information on MindArk or the citizenship system, you can head over to EntropiaUniverse.com.
All right. I'm sending evil emails now.
We don't like what you did there.
I'm cleaning it up because it was real. I've edited it. It started out real ugly. Blah, blah, blah. No.
Get them going. Get them.
not going to get them. We have to do something. We have to start changing the industry. We've already started to do that, but sometimes I have to point it out. They're not nearly as bad as the beginning. We had people send us calendars wanting us to give it away to our primarily female audience. And if you don't think we have a primarily female audience, please feel free to take a look at Alexa. Our audience is nearly 95% female. They may not say anything on our forums or say much, but they're there and they're watching. So we're not trying to offend them. We love our girls. We want you to stay. Any case, I forgot what I was going to talk about. I was so upset. I hate when they do this to me. I hate it. Yes. All right. Well, there are some other issues going on with you iPhone people. Yeah.
Uh-oh. What's going on?
Well, yesterday, if you were tooling around the internet, you saw that Amazon was getting rid of its deal of the day because they were saying they had exhausted it. They had exhausted people. People were not taking advantage of it. They even sent out emails and auto-unsubscribed some people from it. You know, if you signed up to get daily deals, because people were just not responding. And on one hand, I was like, you shouldn't dare unsubscribe me. But honestly, if you know, when it's us, if we weren't getting any response, we'd probably unsubscribe you too, just because, you know, we don't want to aggravate you.
Yeah.
So another company who's a daily deals aggregator, Yipit, according to VentureBeat, is today releasing its new app on the iTunes App Store, bringing shoppers customized deals, recommendations for more than 750 deal sites nationwide. This is, of course, after Amazon has pulled theirs. The free Yipit app will be location-aware and will enable users to take advantage of nearby deals similar to ScoutMob, the DealMix, and the DealMap, which is all map-based navigation based on what's discounted nearby. So right now they're saying the question is, with all the deal fatigue is what it's being called, do we need another one of these apps? People are saying, of course, Yipit is, you know, the awesome sauce. Many of the features of Yipit's app will be familiar to anyone with a smartphone or who has that functionality, such as location awareness and push notifications, which I find annoying. Stop it, Virgin Mobile. It's the company's mastery of daily deals data that will set its app apart from the crowd. Hopefully, Yipit is a leading data provider to analysts who watch the daily deals industry. The company has also offered a daily email aggregate deals offered by hundreds of national and local daily deals providers across the U.S. The company has aggregated more than 1 million deals nationwide, all without spending a dollar on marketing, which is absolutely epic.
That is epic.
We need to contact them. Morin disputes if there is such a thing as daily deals fatigue. Jim Morin, who's the co-founder of Yipit, he said nobody complains if there are too many products available online because e-commerce sites such as Amazon and eBay do a good job of filtering products and putting the right offers in front of the right people. But even Amazon has pulled their stuff, Jim.
Wow.
Morin says that if consumers received an email with every product available online, they would have e-commerce fatigue the same way people talk about the deals fatigue. According to Moran, the true power of algorithms, like the one powering the Yipit app, is evident not from what you see, but from what you don't see, mainly the deals that aren't relevant, meaning if they're not nearby, you probably won't see them. As holiday shopping season approaches, Moran says he's excited about using the app to find gifts for his two sisters who live in San Francisco. Yipit is hoping to decouple the idea of local shopping from local consumption. The app will make it easier than ever for someone who doesn't live in a local area to buy products or experiences for someone who does without having to sign up for emails or sift through offers. Time and yet again, Yipit proved to be a bee in Groupon's bonnet as the company geared up for its November 4th IPO. By tracking the number of deals Groupon sold and calculating the revenue split with the merchants, Yipit was able to issue reasoned estimates of Groupon's true profitability, even as Groupon itself was loath to comment. So Yipit may yet have a strong hand to play with its mobile app. Wow. You can pop over to VentureBeat and check out the rest of this article. This looks like it's going to be a juicy fight between Yipit and Groupon. I don't do daily deals, localized or otherwise. I like to go out and shop, and if I need to send something to somebody that's not nearby, that's what FedEx is for.
Yes, exactly.
And it is about that time for us to go.
It is. It is. But we'll be back tomorrow.
Twice.
Mm-hmm.
I think I need to hear my song today.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
I've been working on a cocktail called Grams for Divorce. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Jen.
Later, boys and girls. Mwah.